Blog Talk Radio.
Your place, love connection. Your place of prayer, love, acceptance, compassion, and empowerment. Here's your host, Dr. Susie.
Welcome, welcome to Your Place Love Connection Bible Study. This is your place of prayer, love, acceptance, and compassion and empowerment. We're so glad to have you with us tonight, as we are every Tuesday night from 7 to 8-ish, 8:30 p.m. And as we begin the show tonight, we ask that you join us with devotion. We'll start off with, and we'll go to a song by Yolanda Adams, and then we'll have scripture. And from there, we will have intercessory prayer. So we're so excited to have you with us tonight, as I said, and we will start with prayer as we speak. Margaret, if you're on the line tonight, or Bishop,
yes, I am.
I would appreciate it if you could read the scripture for immorality.
Is it Romans 1:18-32?
Or 1:8, yeah, you can do 1:18, as long as it includes 24. So, yeah, that's good.
Okay. Okay.
24. Yeah, that whole passage. Thank you.
Okay. Romans chapter 1, verses 18 to 32. The wrath of God is being revealed from heaven.
Not yet. We just started.
Oh, I'm sorry. Okay.
That's okay. So we'll start off with prayer. God, we come before you, and we just ask that you be with us tonight as we go forward. Lord, you know everything that we need. We're talking tonight about immorality from the book of Dr. David Jeremiah. And as we talk about this book, Lord, we will profess and discuss what we perceive is right from our understanding of the Bible. And as we do so, we know that the Word says, come and let us reason together. And that's what we choose to do on this Bible study, Your Place Love Connection Bible Study. Lord, we ask that tonight that you would continue to bless us as we struggle to grow and to learn. We ask that you bless us as we are trying to help people understand who you are. We ask you to bless us as we carry this word all over the world, because we know the time is coming to an end. And we want to celebrate you, and we want to be known as your faithful service, good and faithful servant. Well done, we want to hear. We ask this blessing now, in the matchless name of Jesus, we pray. Amen and amen.
Amen.
Disappointing you, for I need to talk to you.
and ask you for your guidance, especially today when my life is so cloudy. Guide me until I'm sure I'll
His eternal power and divine nature have been clearly seen, being understood from what has been made, so that people are without excuse. For although they knew God, they neither glorified him as God nor gave thanks to him, but their thinking became futile and their foolish hearts were darkened. Although they claimed to be wise, they became fools and exchanged the glory of the immortal God for images made to look like a mortal human being and birds and animals and reptiles. Therefore, God gave them over in the sinful desires of their hearts to sexual impurity for the degrading of their bodies with one another. They exchanged the truth about God for a lie and worshipped and served created things rather than the Creator, who is forever praised. Amen. Because of this, God gave them over to shameful lusts. Even their women exchanged natural sexual relations for unnatural ones. In the same way, the men also abandoned natural relations with women and were inflamed with lust for one another. Men committed shameful acts with other men and received in themselves the due penalty for their error. Furthermore, just as they did not think it worthwhile to retain the full knowledge of God, so God gave them over to a depraved mind so that they do what ought not to be done. They have become filled with every kind of wickedness, evil, greed, and depravity. They are full of envy, murder, strife, deceit, and malice. They are gossips, slanderers, God-haters, insolent, arrogant, and boastful. They invent ways of doing evil. They disobey their parents. They have no understanding, no fidelity, no love, no mercy. Although they know God's righteous decree that those who do such things deserve death, they not only continue to do these very things, but also approve of those who practice them. The word of the Lord for the people of God.
Thanks be to God. Amen. Amen. It's at this time that we come to our time of intercessory prayer. Just wanted to ask Dr. Nix, are you available today? Are you okay to like doing the intercessory prayer?
Yeah, I'm okay.
Dr. Nix, are you?
I'm okay.
Do you feel like doing the intercessory prayer tonight? Yes.
I said yes.
Would you do the
intercessory?
All right, thank you. Would you do the intercessory prayer tonight? Thank you.
We invite you to ask for God's help in intercessory prayer, and we also ask you to give a praise report, and all of us need prayer. We need God. We need each other. So we invite you to. Ask for prayer at this time.
This is Bishop Michael. I have a prayer request for everybody that's been impacted directly or indirectly by this pandemic, and specifically for a person that I prayed with when I was in Virginia last week. We'll call her Chandra, who's been in a very abusive situation that to the point it's impacted her health. And it's really a situation that she needs deliverance from and protection while she's still in there, and God will give her the strategy to get out of that situation.
Amen.
Amen.
This is Eric. I'm just going to bring one before the group tonight. Found out in my uncle's cancer that we thought was being eradicated and treated. It's progressed to stage 4 lung cancer. And we found that out yesterday afternoon. And so I've been talking with him and trying to process all of that and just asking for God's will to be done, Juan. I know that God doesn't make any mistakes. I know that. My uncle knows that. But that he doesn't suffer. He doesn't lose dignity. And if it be God's will, the healing process starts to take place now. And if that's not God's will, as we see it, that we can then accept God's will and still give him the praise, honor, and glory for my uncle's life.
Amen. Anyone else?
This is Dr. Susie. I just wanted to take the time to give a praise report. The prayers that I requested last week regarding my job, the prayers have been answered. The beginning of victory is here. The Lord showed up and showed out. And there's still more that has to be done, but great is he who is in me than he that's in the world. Hallelujah.
Amen.
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 So continue prayer, Brother James.
This is Margaret from Florida, and I just want to praise the Lord and thank him for his mercy, for his love, and his kindness, for his coming through. And Lord, I just ask that you would help me with some dental procedure that I have to have next month, and we'll be traveling back up north for it, and just wanted to reach out and ask for your help and governance over the whole deal. And also, I'd like to pray for our Bible group and our Bible study and praise God for how far we've come and so much we've covered and how much we've learned. And I just pray that the Lord will influence us all with a fresh anointing of wisdom and understanding for his holy word and the message that he wants us to receive. In Jesus' name.
Amen.
Amen.
Anyone else? Well, this is James, and I ask for prayers for myself concerning some testing that I have to do starting next week regarding cancer that I have. Just pray for guidance regarding, you know, some decisions that I need to make.
Amen.
Anyone else? God is good.
All the time.
Amen. Oh God, we thank you for tonight. We thank you for every day that we have. And as we go older and go through difficult times, we appreciate more how your presence and how your intervention in our lives has made such a profound difference. We thank you for loving us, caring for us, even at times when we didn't love ourselves and we weren't very lovable. You stayed with us and kept reaching out to us. And God, we're so grateful tonight. And we thank you for this Bible study. We thank you for helping our family members and keeping us and bringing us through such difficult times. And Bishop Michael talks about this pandemic, and many of us have suffered greatly because of the pandemic, and we've lost family members and loved ones. And we want to lift up those people that have gone through and are still going through difficult times, some in the form of separation, some suffering mental distress, some suffering physical illnesses, and even death. We want to lift up the special person that he prayed for. He called her Chandra. And just ask you to bless her in a special way, God, through the in the situation that she finds herself in. And comfort her and give her strength. And also, God, to help her through that situation and to get out of that situation. We pray for a special touch in Jesus' name. That she would find a way. God is able. Help her to reach out, God, and receive what God has for her. God, so many of us need to have our eyes open and our hearts open to see that God and look up and see that there are angels all around us. God has just dispatched angels to help us when we're in need. But sometimes our hearts and our minds are closed to what God is able and what God is doing. Help us to see. And God, we ask for a special blessing for Eric's uncle and Eric's family.
Yes.
And the situation of his stage 4 lung cancer, that can be very painful. And God, we pray that you would touch him in a special way.
Yes, God.
And we pray that he doesn't have to suffer. We pray that he keeps his dignity. And God, that God's, that your will be done. It may not be what we want, but God, help us as we wrestle with him wanting to be here and also understanding that there may be something better that you have for him. Touch that family in a special way and touch Eric's uncle in Jesus' name.
God,
we give praise, honor, and glory for Dr. Susie making it to a state of victory concerning her job and some of the terrible things and deceptions and lies, misunderstandings. God, we're so grateful that there is the beginning to be some victory there, and we give you thanks for that right now, Jesus. We know you're able. do all things but fail, and we are so grateful for Dr. Susie and for her ministry. Continue to bless her in a special way. In Jesus' name. And we lift up Margaret, God, and Margaret gives praise, honor, and glory to you, God, and so grateful for your mercy and for your grace. And we pray for help for procedure that she has to deal with next month. Give her the strength and guidance, God, as she walks through that process. And God, I thank you for blessing me and keeping me, and ask for guidance concerning the cancer that I have, that you would. I have tests next biopsy next week. I have had many tests already, but we are looking and leaning and depending on you for comfort and guidance. And we're so grateful, so grateful. Continue to walk with us, God, and we are excited about you walking with us. Oh, what a blessing it is that even in the midst of a storm, we know that you're there with us saying, peace be still. So we rejoice at that right now. And just ask you to bless this Bible study and those that might be listening in, that they would be blessed by what you have for them today. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.
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 Amen. Thank you so much, Dr. Nux. We always appreciate being able to have and listen to you do our intercessory prayer. Tonight, we're just so grateful that everybody is here. We want to pray for Shirley. I thought about that. It's already past time that she won't be in the Bible study tonight. Their church is having a special session tonight, and she won't be with us as a result of that. And so asking that those of you who are on the line tonight, that thanks to God that you were able to read and study, and as you come to the discussion table tonight, and we look at this thing called immorality, that we are faced with every day in these United States. And so before we begin, we want to do a roll call. We want to do a roll call. So if you'd like to let us know who's on the line tonight by starting the roll call, we'd be appreciative. Brother Carter in the house. Good to hear from you, Brother Carter.
This is Eric.
Brother Eric.
Jerry from Maine.
Brother Jerry from Maine.
Margaret Richard from Michael Florida. Sorry.
Margaret from Florida and Bishop Michael from Tulsa.
I hope it's sunny Florida, Margaret.
Well, it wasn't bad today.
Warm anyway, right?
Well, a little cooler, but it was fine.
Oh,
it was all right.
Come on now. You destroyed our mindset of Florida. Come on, Margaret.
Well, it did get to 70. So
okay.
Cool in the
See,
morning.
There you go. Okay.
That's Arctic blast in Florida, 70 degrees.
Yeah, it's a little bit of a cool front.
I kid her. I lived in Florida for 10 years, so I always remember that. The sunshine state, even when it's raining, we called it liquid sunshine, right?
Yeah.
Nice. I hate y'all.
that's why I normally would say everywhere, because I've lived a whole lot of places, so I kind of know the country's weather patterns.
Yeah.
Well, I hate to tell y'all, as if you didn't know, but it's supposed to snow 8 inches here in Indiana on the weekend.
Good. Let it stay in Indiana. Oh, let it not cross the state line. Let it stay in Indiana.
Oh, my.
I resent that. I resent that.
It's 10, not 8. May you get 10 and not 8.
Shut up. I hope you have to come up
Where
here and help
love?
Me drive in
Where's
it. That's that brother stuff. That's all right.
Yeah.
But yeah, I'm going to tell y'all,
we love you.
Eric talked all that trash. If I in the hospital, he's driven miles just to be there to pray for me. Yes, he has. Mm. That's my brother. So
yeah, actually, I hope you don't get any, because if it's coming in the end, that means it's going to be in Ohio soon. So
Ohio.
I don't want you to see any.
Unmuted.
Well, Ohio changes from minute to minute, so it might be warm in the daytime and snowing at night. So
yeah, right.
So this is James from Ohio.
We want to let you all know that whenever you get ready, you're more than welcome to join in at any time. Remember, just a little bit of etiquette here in the studio. Please make sure you don't put on speakerphone, because that causes a horrible echo in the studio. Make sure that if you're listening to the TV or you got somebody in the house with you, put the phone on mute until you get ready to speak, because we'll hear everything, including the rumbling of paper and everything in the background. So please put your phone on mute until you get ready to talk. And then we just ask that you would understand that your participation is key. This is a panel discussion, and your participation is key so that others listening will know who God is and how God works in our lives, and the blessings and the challenges that we face, so that they too can make a decision to trust and love the God that we serve. So with that, asking that we move forward in the discussion tonight. So unless there are other questions or statements, I'm going to begin the first question. So my question tonight to get us launched is, I wanted to, and I forgot, I'm negligent to tell you that we are reading and studying and dialoguing the Book of Signs from Dr. David Jeremiah. We are in chapter 2, and chapter 2, or part 2 rather, I'm sorry, part 2 is involving culture, and it's talking about materialism. It's actually talking about materialism. And as he talks about materialism, that was chapter 6, and this is what we talked about last week. And we are talking tonight about immorality. So the beginning of the cultural portion was materialism. And tonight we'll be talking about immorality. Now, I'm going to tell y'all up front, I don't necessarily agree with Dr. Jeremiah, which we've said several times. I agree with a lot of things he said, but there's a lot of things that I see differently, and many of us have different perspectives. So the Bible tells us, come, let us reason, and that's what we're doing. So we ask that you be willing to be stretched, as there will be many people here that will have a difference of opinion. So take that into consideration and know that God calls us to love one another and to operate in that same love and koinonia. So as we go forward tonight, let us do so with love. So my first question to you tonight is, what is the word, would you define for me, depravity? Depravity. What is depravity? What does that mean? What does depravity mean?
This is Eric. And to me, it means going against God's will question, God's commandments, and God's teaching. What God has called us through as we read this Bible, and he's laid out, you know, and I'll be the first one to tell you that we talk about the Ten Commandments, but there are really 613. If you read through Leviticus and Deuteronomy, there are 313. And when you go against what God has said as his standard, then that is depravity.
Amen.
And for those Bible scholars, as you read through the Old Testament, there are 613 commandments as you go through what he told the Israelites to do and don't. There are 48 things that they need to do, and there are 365 things that they do not need to do, which comes to 613. If you add that up, it comes to 10. And Jesus boiled it down to 2.
Amen.
And we know what those 2 are, right?
Mm-hmm.
Well, somebody tell me, please.
Love the Lord God with all your heart, your mind, your soul, and spirit.
Thank you.
Love your neighbor as yourself.
Okay. That's what Christ boiled it down to. From 613 to 10 to 2. And we have problems with the 2. Which is why we're going to
face
the end
time. We have problems with more than the 2.
Well, if we can't follow the 2, we definitely can't follow the 10, and we can't follow 613, which is why there will be an end of time.
About.
Right,
and which
is why there will be
an
end of time.
Yeah, I'd like to expound
that's
this one
exactly
out a bit.
Why
you know,
God showed us.
Yeah, depravity is, you know, moral corruption, wickedness, and all that Eric is talking about there, I think the problem is, and I agree that we have problems with the 2, it's what is the perception of wickedness and corruption and moral depravity, and whose perspective are you looking at it from? And how can we say we love God and then we don't treat our brother and sister right? You know, we have a problem with loving, and then we have a problem with our perception, depending on our cultural backgrounds and upbringings and understanding of what is right and wrong. And we have this great debate going on in this country, you know, about what is right and what is wrong. And it seems like, you know, people want to vary that from place to place depending upon what they perceive as right and wrong. I mean, we even get down to things like critical race theory and people wanting to teach, say what we should and should not teach people and do not want to know the truth and leave something out of history.
But Dr. Nooks, this is Eric. There lies the problem, is that we want to put another set of truths out there. There's only one truth, but we have determined that we want to have an alternative truth, if I can borrow that from Kellyanne Conway back in not too distant future. Alternative facts. There's no such things as alternative facts. The facts are the facts. The truth is the truth. And our problem now has become is that we want to alter that and create an alternate truth, an alternate reality. And so there is our problem.
And a big part of the problem comes from our people that should be our moral leaders.
Leaders. Right.
Have different perspectives on what is truth. And how they treat people, and that's very confusing to many people, and they really, you know, and now we've taken sides and split, and even in the church, you know, we have one group of the church, you know, not going along with or even believing in the same facts, even though they're in the Bible sometimes. I mean, and when the church can't even come together on something like that, then you really wonder, who are we following? You know, are we really following Christ? Are we really following God? Are we God's church when we can't even tell the truth unless it follows along our political
ideology?
Ideology, yeah. So, it's crazy. I mean, it's got our whole, you know, people don't want to go to church. They don't want to, I mean, they don't want to be bothered with it because, you know, it just seems so false and fake, and then we don't treat people right, and we say that we ought to, and we say we want to be moral, but we're immoral in how we act, you know. Go ahead, I'm sorry.
I'm just supporting you. Excellent, Dr.
You're right. This is Eric. Let me say this. Well, actually, it's not me saying this, but this is God's word, 2 Timothy 3:1. You should also know this, Timothy, that in the last days there will be very difficult times, for people will love only themselves and their money. They will be boastful and proud, scoffing at God, disobedient to their parents, and ungrateful. They will consider nothing sacred. They will be unloving and unforgiving. They will slander others and have no self-control. They will be cruel and have no interest in what is good. They will betray their friends, be reckless, be puffed up with pride, and love pleasure rather than God. They will act as if they are religious, but they will reject the power that could make them godly. You must stay away from people like that.
My Lord.
That's exactly what he said. We read that last week, too.
When we look at depravity,
go ahead, Bishop.
In that definition of depravity, there's this moral corruption and wickedness, right? And the connotation of the word wickedness, it's like a person that knows to do right but chooses to do wrong. Everything that Eric just read from the Apostle Paul, disrespectful of parents. Y'all know you're supposed to respect your parents, right? You're lovers of money. The love of money is the what?
Root of all evil.
Not money is the root of all evil. The love of money, which means I'm going to do anything to get it. So the wickedness, it goes from knowing to do right, but you're going to do wrong. We know it's wrong to murder. But if I'm going to get the money, if you're going to snitch on me, I'm going to murder you because I don't want to go to court and go to jail. So I'm going to kill you. I know I'm not supposed to kill. Wickedness, moral depravity. If you're going to hurt somebody just to protect yourself and make yourself look good and present yourself as a righteous person, moral depravity, wickedness, knowing to do right. That means you know to do better, but you choose not to for your own selfish reason.
This is Dr. Susie, and that stems from the fact of what we believe theologically is that the innate corruption of human nature due to original sin, you know, it started in the garden and it continued to decline and decline and decline and decline. And that now the question becomes, what is total depravity?
And have we reached it?
Well, this is Eric. I don't know that we've reached it yet in this society, because if we had, then God would have done what he did to Sodom and Gomorrah. Because the Bible clearly tells that it reached him and he was set up and he destroyed it. Fire and brimstone, sulfur. Y'all remember that?
Mm-hmm.
So,
but that's
so
where we're headed.
We haven't gotten it. Right, that's where we're headed. Well, what I was going to say to the bishop is he's absolutely correct. But one of the biggest problems that has gone on now that causes us to accelerate this situation is there used to be a time in this world where everyone accepted that there was a God. Even if you didn't like what he did or you couldn't wrap your head around who he was, we all could agree that there was a God when we looked at creation and we looked at everything that was going on. But now we've gotten to the point to where people try to discount that there is a God, that there's this happenstance, or I'm in control of my own destiny, I can make my own decisions, I can do whatever I want to, so therefore there's going to be depravity, because you don't think, this world doesn't think that there's anybody that you need to be subjective to. But we who believe in God know that there is a creator who created me, and the creation has to be in subjection to the creator. And not in a subjective that you got to be, you know, bowing and all that stuff, but the acknowledgement and the reverence that there is a higher power than me.
And therein is the problem.
Most of the world has lost that.
Therein is the problem, because the problem becomes when humanity wants to exalt itself over God. So when we get to the deification of human reasoning, we have a problem. Houston,
yes.
We have a problem.
Exactly.
So listen to Paul again in Timothy. 2 Timothy. And so let me lay down this baseline first. All scripture is inspired by God and is useful to teach us what is true and make us realize what is wrong in our lives. It strengthens us. It straightens us out and teaches us to do what is right. It's God's way of preparing us in every way, fully equipped for every good thing that God wants us to do. But in chapter 4, Paul says this to Timothy. For a time is coming when people will no longer listen to right teaching. They will follow their own desires and will look for teachers who will tell them whatever they want to hear. They will reject the truth and follow strange myths. But you should keep a clear mind in every situation. Don't be afraid of suffering for the Lord. Work at bringing others to Christ. Complete the ministry God has given you. So I read those to say this. The baseline is that we who say we are Christians believe that the Bible is God's inspired word through men, and that it teaches us the difference between right and wrong. But then he goes on to tell Timothy, but there is coming a time when people will not endure sound doctrine, that they will want to hear what is good to their ears, itching ears, as you read the King James Version. And so that is the major problem that we face today, is that people don't want to believe God's word, and they want to hear what they want to hear and do what they want to do. As David Jeremiah talked about it, and I went back and I read the lyrics to that song, Anything Goes, by Cole Porter. And that's literally what it talks about. Anything. Think about that. Think about the title of the song, that Anything Goes. Think about our society and hearing a song that says anything goes. What does that lead you to believe?
it's real clear that the man did not have a relationship with God. And he died with that same depressed, negative perspective because he only could see himself. He couldn't see anything bigger or had no faith. He even said his mama went to church, but he didn't want to believe in that. So
No. He said that his mom went to church.
Theology.
Right.
Yeah,
he
but
said
he said
his
he
mom
did
went
not
to
believe
church.
In that.
Right, because she only went to show her new hat. She didn't go to church, according to him, and I wasn't there, to reverence the Lord and to believe, but she went to show her new hat. And how many of us, and let's be for real, are sitting in church and we see people, we like, are you really here for the right reason? I know I've told the story. I went to church and invited a woman that had been working with me on a project, and I was sitting in church, and she took her foot and ran it up my leg sitting in church as I'm listening to the preacher.
Well.
And she told me she was such a Christian that she wanted to go to church and she wanted to hear my preacher, and she and I'm sitting there, and I didn't frown. I didn't look at her. I just kept my eyes on the preacher, and I said, yep. This ain't going to happen again.
Yeah.
How many of us have been in church where you went to a church to visit someplace else? Again, happened to me. And you sat in somebody's seat because you visited and you know everybody got a favorite seat. Everybody got a favorite seat at church. And you visited and the people walk by you and look at you like they could kill you. And walk over you. Don't say good morning. Don't say, well, could you please slide down? That's my favorite seat. Or could you move over to another pew? But literally looked at you like they could kill you for sitting in that seat in their church.
Oh, yeah.
We, and all of us, because none of us are perfect, but we have forgotten what it really means to reverence the Lord. And so the Lord has to exact his authority and his righteousness, that's the correct word, his righteousness, on this world, a world that he created, a world that he even redeemed through his own son. And I pray this prayer every day. And Dr. Susan, I'm not trying to take over. I'm going to make this point. I'm going to be quiet. But do y'all realize why Christ asked the Lord to forgive the people as he was hanging on the cross? Has anybody really ever contemplated why he asked the Lord to do that? I submit to you, and this is Eric, I submit to you that he didn't ask because he knew they were killing an innocent man and killing crucifying the Messiah. He did that because he knew that because of their actions, they were plunging themselves into further immorality and sin. And he said, Lord, forgive them, for they know not what they do. I'm here to redeem them of that. But they're getting ready to plunge themselves even further down the line. And that's where we are today. Further down the line.
Amen.
Well, this is Dr. Susan. If we go back to the original definition that we discussed, and we see that there's an increase in depravity with every generation, if we look at the fact that we allow some things to happen, then the next level it goes to, then we take it another mile, then we take it another mile. It used to be, when I was a kid, when you went into church, you didn't go running in the church. That was a sacred space. You knew better. And when you walked in, you had to have respect. Folk running in the church, spitting in the church, chewing gum in the church, laughing in the church, telling jokes in the church. It's no longer a sacred space. So we have declined, even as we go little at a time, gets worse, less value. That's decline. And if the moment we allow one little thing, then we let another little thing. And then when you turn around and look, it's all in a depraved state. So I think what we are supposed to look at tonight, as Dr. Jeremiah gives an explanation of immorality, he then gives a history of it. He talks about where that comes from biblically. Then he explains it from the Bible, which we've done just now a little bit with Eric and the rest of us as we've been talking about in Dr. Nooks, to talking about idolatry. And then specifically what immorality looks like in the different places that we find it. The issue, what are the things I'm asking you now? What are the things that you see in the world around you that show immorality? So to me, I see things like immorality and depravity. It started out, people blow this off now, but it used to be immoral when you had out of wedlock births. It ain't a big deal now. Come on, somebody. Hello.
Right.
Y'all don't have to agree with me. I remember when if a woman got pregnant, they used to take her out of school and hide her somewhere. And she'd come back after the baby was born.
Yeah, in this part of the country, they send them down south. In Ohio, they send them down south.
That's what I meant by hiding.
Yeah.
There you go.
And didn't do anything to the man or the boy.
That's right.
No, they didn't. You're absolutely right.
I want us to name some of the things that are part of that type of immoral decline, like out of wedlock births, breaking up of the family, amorality in public education.
Shunned. If you got a divorce from your wife or your husband, it was shunned upon. You were divorcee? Whoa. You know, except for the abuse that people could see. But if you just, you know, came home and said, well, I won't be married no more. I found Joe down the street or I found Susie up the street. You know, we don't need to be married no more. That wasn't something you broadcast and was proud of.
Yeah. What other type of thing?
I think,
divorce.
I think one of the things that I've noticed is the fact that marriage used to be between a man and a woman, and now, however you feel about it, politically correct or incorrect, now it can be between a woman and a woman or a man between a man, and it was nowhere near like it is now accepted, and it was just when you got married, you knew it was a man and a woman, and now that's not so.
Yeah.
Amen.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. Y'all know the part where Paul says that your body is the temple of the Holy Spirit?
Yes.
That,
so having sex outside of marriage was not acceptable.
That context came because in Ephesians, the brothers were going to the temple. And the temple was where the goddess of fertility was. And at the temple, the goddess had priestesses. We would call them prostitutes.
Prostitutes.
Yeah. And the brothers were going from the church to the temple. Yes. And so, you know, that's one immorality. It's become mainstream now, guys. It's normal, you know. Go to Vegas, go to Atlantic City. You know, it's normal. And some of the brothers and the sister in like, come on.
Brother, you ain't got to go that far. You can go to any neighborhood in any community and find that.
But that's what I'm saying. That's still immorality.
It is.
You understand what
absolutely
I'm saying? And it's become, and here's
absolutely
the thing, it's become mainstream. It's accepted.
Amen.
What about cohabitation? before people didn't live together, it was something you almost didn't see, and if you see it, you definitely didn't talk about it, and now people freely move in. It's like when you get in a relationship now, you're supposed to move in together instead of waiting until marriage.
Well,
that's true. And we think that it's, you know, we feel that it's okay. It's and we say it, well, I'm getting to know them. Well, you're still wrong. We may think it's right, and we do. And we don't think anything of it, but it's still wrong. It's still against what God's principles were as he set up this existence for mankind. And I think that's what we forget, is that God set up this existence for mankind. He laid it all out. Man rebelled in the garden, and God told him what the punishment would be, but yet his laws were still there, and he showed the love and the kindness to still look after man. And so man is the one who keeps turning away and going further away. Forgive them, Father, for they know not what they do. Until we get to the end times, which we've been studying. And once we get there, if you haven't accepted Christ as your personal Savior and God's ultimate mercy, then guess what? You're going to suffer for all of those things you did for eternity.
Amen. Amen.
Amen. But, you know, it's, I heard you talk about, Eric, when you talked about the fall of man, which is what I talked about earlier with Adam. But the reality is we need to, in Genesis 3:6, can somebody read that? Genesis 3:6. And then can, Eric, would you get Isaiah 64:6? And Dr. Nook, would you get Matthew 7:17 through 18?
Genesis 3:6. So when the woman saw that the tree was good for food, that it was pleasant to the eyes, and a tree desirable to make one wise, she took of its fruit and ate. She also gave to her husband with her, and he ate.
So
go on.
I just wanted to look at the fact that the fall is what we're talking about, that the result of that, every part of humanity, our minds, our will, our emotion, our flesh, all of that's been corrupted by sin, and we don't stop to look at that. We don't realize all of us was influenced by what happened in the garden. They got kicked out because of sin. And in other words, sin affects areas of our being, including who we are. Come on, somebody, and what we do.
Yes, it does.
So Isaiah 64:6.
And the enemy's task, that's where I'm going. So all of this penetrates to the core of our being so that everything is tainted by sin. Go ahead. Everything.
Isaiah 64:6. We are all infected and impure with sin. When we proudly display our righteous deeds, we find that they are but filthy rags. Like autumn leaves, we wither and fall. And our sin, like the wind, sweeps us away.
But we are filthy before a holy and righteous God. So this is letting us know we are sinners by nature now. And Jesus talks about it, and he says, what's that passage in Matthew 7:17 through 18? Anybody got that?
Yes, I have it. Can you hear me? It's I like to start at 15, if you don't mind. Watch out for false prophets.
Yeah.
they come to you in sheep's clothing, but inwardly they are ferocious wolves. By their fruit you will recognize them. Do people pick grapes from thorn roots, bushes, or figs from thistles? Likewise, every good fruit bears good fruit. Every good tree bears good fruit. But a bad tree bears bad fruit. A good tree cannot bear bad fruit, and a bad tree cannot bear good fruit. Every tree that does not bear good fruit is cut down and thrown into the fire. Thus, by their fruit, you will recognize them.
So we sin because we're sinners. We do good because we've transformed. And we've given over our lives to God. We've become new creatures, new creations. But that can't happen by ourselves. That has to be
That's true.
Intervention of the Holy Spirit. And so we see depravity of man throughout this Bible. Everything that we read about, that there's this deceit and wickedness. We're born in transgression and sin. We are people who fell short. And unless we go before the throne of grace, we are the bad tree that bears bad fruit.
Mm-hmm.
Now, the thing that the word tells us is that if we're not careful, we will not seek God. Why? Because, right, we're ungenerated, unregenerated. And only if we become that which submits to the impact, the influence, the touch of the Holy Spirit, we would never understand the things of God. We would always love the darkness. We would always seek unrighteousness. We would always willfully live in sin. And when that happens, we have total depravity. So that's what we see today as we move forward. We see all the results of what man who has moved away from God looks like. And if you can imagine that, the Bible says he will give us exceedingly abundantly above anything we can ask for or imagine. If you can imagine the worst sin, the worst hell, that's what it's going to be like when you separated from God. The worst thing you can think of, separation from God, is some of the stuff you're seeing now. And you think this is bad? You don't want to go to hell.
No, ma'am.
Total depravity. Simple life that seems right to men. What's that scripture? Let me see. Proverbs.
There's a way to
think it. Proverbs 14:12. Mm-hmm. Proverbs 14:12. Can somebody get that one?
Proverbs 14:12.
Yeah.
There's a path before each person that seems right, but it ends in death.
Mm-hmm.
And it says something about the way to life is narrow, but the broad road to
Broadway,
narrow gate.
Yeah.
Yeah, that's in the New Testament. Yeah.
That's in the New Testament.
So the reality is that people will reject the gospel because they're hostile to God. They're hostile to God because they have love sin, and they don't hold themselves subject to the law of God. And so they have elevated themselves and deified themselves, and reason is what they go by. It is what they live by, which is influenced by whom?
The devil.
Mm-hmm. Ding, ding,
because
ding.
His goal is to do what? His goal is to do what?
Kill,
three
kill
things.
And destroy.
All the time.
Kill and destroy.
Kill and
destroy.
Destroy.
That's it. That's it. And it's funny. Apostle Paul lets us know, and can somebody get Romans 3:9-18 right quick? Romans 3:9-18. Romans 3:9-18.
What shall we conclude then? Are we any better? Not at all. We have already made the charge that Jews and Gentiles alike are all under sin. As it is written, there is no one righteous, not even one. There is no one who understands, no one who seeks God. All have turned away. They have together become worthless. There is no one who does good, not even one. Their throats are open graves.
Have mercy.
Their tongues
and what
practice
this is,
deceit.
Go ahead.
Okay. How far did you want to go?
How far did you read? To 18?
Almost to 13. The poison of vipers is on their lips, their mouths full of cursing and bitterness. Their feet are swift to shed blood. Their ruin and misery mark their ways. In the way of peace, they do not know. There is no fear of God before their eyes. That's 18.
Jesus.
Have mercy.
Mercy, Lord.
So, you know, some people think it's cute when a little child goes, mine. What parent has to teach his child or to be selfish?
None of them.
There is, no, that's because the naturalness of our sinful nature is what they come with. That's what we do. But we have to devote our time to teaching them, telling them, modeling for them truth. As Eric said, truth. Not a substitute, not something that we got to wonder if it is. The word of God is the truth. Instead of sharing and being selfish, instead of showing them and modeling disobedience and rebellion, that's what we have to do. And we all have sinful nature. So we're all in the process of transformation. We're all in the process of becoming. We're all in the process of moving towards that sanctification that God has placed us in right standing. But we still have to work out our own salvation. We still have to seek out the word and to grow and to become, move from a child to being a man, being able to see no longer with cloudy eyes or cloudiness, but being able to see clearly. Because as we grow, we understand that we are corrupt and only God is what is just and right. And we have to become transformed like God. And we of ourselves can't do that. So we have to submit. That's the part. Humanity struggles with submission. Go ahead.
So this is the Apostle Paul again. 1 Corinthians 13, 11. It's like this. When I was a child, I spoke and thought and reasoned as a child does.
Well,
but when I grew up,
when I became
I
a man,
away childish things. Now we see things imperfectly as in a poor mirror. But when we see everything with perfect clarity, all that I know now is partial and complete. Then I will know everything completely, just as God knows me.
Amen.
And of course, the 13th one is the which he talks about backing up to 1 through 10, is that there are three things that will endure: faith, hope, and love. The greatest of these is love. But just as Dr. Susie said, when we become Christians, we are supposed to put away those things that are improper, that are impure, that are not righteous, that are against God's teachings. And Christ knew that we would struggle with that, which he gave us an opportunity to come before God's throne to confess our sins, repent, and move forward. But somehow our churches forget that part. We think and believe that what we think and what we feel and what we do is righteous when it goes against God's word. And Christ said, they will know that you are mine by love and the way you teach the brethren. And it didn't say the brethren of any specific ignition, you know, being black or white or,
you're talking about
or
Christian.
Chinese or Indian or whatever. It's being a Christian. But do you see mm-hmm. that in today's world?
We see just the opposite. That's the biggest thing
right.
I had with evangelism. That's why we see this depravity even in the church. So one of the things that we have to get clear, nobody, I don't care how much you study, how good you are, how great you are, you ain't without sin. We all fall short. Nobody
Amen.
On their own seeks after God. Nobody is good. All of our speech is corrupted by sin. All of our actions are corrupted by sin. And if we're not careful and if we don't trust God and if we don't submit ourselves to the word of God daily and seek the Lord, we will fall short. But the problem is, in this world, people have no fear of God. They
can
took prayer out of the school. They moved away from the moral things that we have more. Go ahead. Go ahead.
One of the things that, you know, kind of shocked me, this was about 20 years ago. I didn't know these types of churches existed. And Dr. Jeremiah kind of mentioned them in this chapter, was the seeker churches, where people are seeking for a church that fits their bill. So the sinner is dictating the tenets of the church. We don't want to offend anybody, so we're not going to teach on the blood. We're not going to offend anybody because we're not going to talk about sin and having to be righteous and holy and what Eric had just said. You know, it's, so there's another reason for the depravity. When you look at somebody who goes to church and they make no difference between them and somebody that's in the world, somebody that's not been born again. Just because
Amen,
you're in
Bishop.
Church does not make you a Christian.
Eric, I got two things, and I'm going to make them very quickly. One, I was in the deep south in Mobile, Alabama, at a First Baptist Christian Church. They had got to a point where they didn't even have a cross in the sanctuary because they didn't want to offend anybody. Now, mind you, it used to be in the 60s, 70s, 80s, they had 10,000 members. But by 2010 and 15, they might have had 60. But they didn't want to offend anybody, so there wasn't even a cross in the sanctuary. The second one, there's this little story, and I'm going to make it real quick, Dr. Susie. So there's this story of this preacher who was an evangelist and who was very powerful, and he was from the north. And the people in the south used to hear him on the radio, and they were like, man, we really need to get him down here. We really need to get this guy down here to preach for us. So they sent an invitation through the mail, through the letter. He accepts it through the letter and says, you know, I'll be there at, you know, September 20th, whatever, whatever. So he shows up and he walks up to the door and they're like, who are you? And he's like, I'm Pastor So-and-so. I'm here to, you know, I got a letter. He's like, oh, no, you can't be the person we're trying to get to. He's like, no, that's who I am. Here's the letter. Here's my confirmation. This and that. And they wouldn't let him in. And so he walks outside and he said, Lord, I came down. He says, I came down here and I came here to deliver your word, and they won't let me in. And he say, they won't let me in either.
See?
Mm-hmm.
Mm-hmm.
Well, have mercy. So one of the things we hear clearly, scripture is very clear that all man is affected by sin and nobody seeks after God. And so the question becomes, for those of you who are listening in the radio land, how do you become a Christian? Well, the answer is that God must overcome man's depravity in such a way, come on somebody, that man is able to recognize his spiritual state and his hopeless condition apart from the gift that God gives him as grace.
Amen.
Until that's recognized.
Hallelujah.
Come on. Hallelujah. Spiritual eyes are blinded, and they got to be open before they can see that they're enslaved and that chain has to be broken so that individuals can respond in faith to the gospel message and the atoning work of Christ on the cross. So,
come on.
Dr. Jeremiah talks about moral decline. Dr. Jeremiah talks about, as Eric said in 2 Timothy, how men will be lovers of themselves, lovers of money, boasters, proud, blasphemous, disobedient to parents. Come on, somebody, today. How many kids don't pay no attention to their parents? How many kids are shooting their parents because they didn't like the fact that they told them that they needed to stay in the house and not go outside? Come on. How many people are unthankful, unholy, unloving, brutal, despisers, haughty, lovers of pleasure than lovers of God? All this stuff is happening. Total depravity, it says, does not mean that human beings are as depraved as they possibly be, but what it means is there's no good human. It means that it says this would not mean that there's no good in humans, but we know that's not the case. He says all humans are not drunkards or adulterers or murderers.
Yes.
Total depravity, again, means that, I had it written down. Where is it? It means that we have become that far away from the Lord. We have moved away from God. Come on, where is it? Total depravity defines the extent, not the degree, of our sinfulness. I had it written down. Yeah, that's what I wanted to say. So as we look at that, I like what Charles Swindoll said in the book. If depravity were blue, we'd be blue all over. Cut us anywhere, we'd be blue. Cut us in our minds, you find blue thoughts. Cut into our vision, there are blue images full of greed and lust. Cut into our hearts, and there are blue emotions of hate, revenge, and blame. Cut into our wills, and you find deep blue decisions and responses. This is depravity. And it said in Noah's day, come on, y'all remember what happened in Noah's day, right?
Yeah.
Every thought and intention of the heart was evil, evil. Now we get all this technology. We have artificial intelligence. And all this stuff can be projected onto a screen. We can have all of these things that happen, and all of it's leading and promoting this same type of culture. We are profane people. We have horrible behavior, horrible languages. And what is it, Philip Yancey, what the band says? I think I wrote it down. Philip Yancey, I read the book, Vanishing Grace. Talks about the moral free fall of our nation. And that's a good book to read if you all haven't read it. I've read it, and it's something else. You know, we have teen suicides like we never had before. I never would hear about our children killing themselves. We have people who harass and bully and shoot and people who get killed on their honeymoon just going out. I'm like, we are with some crazy folk. We live in a world where we got they just talked about a guy who they call it was a serial killer just doing it for the heck of it. Homeless people having to sleep in parks. I remember Eric was relentlessly doing everything he could to get people off the street. Don't nobody care no more. They're probably taking the tent down there.
Right.
You all right? So the point is that we have declined. We have declined all the way back. We look from the Enlightenment, the Middle Ages, the Western world. We see all the darkness. We all, you remember the Dark Ages? Hey, ain't nothing like we got dark now. We are living in some ages that are dark. And so as we look at this, as we start to see how humanity is leading, we have to understand decline. He talks about decline as it's in the military. He talks about immorality, how we have more people who are men with men and women with women than they've ever had before. He talks about how we have had depravity everywhere, how our culture is over-sexualized. All of these things tear us away from what it is that God desires for us. And so this is the wrap-up of immorality. We'll go into the next section next week, and if there's anything that you have questions about, feel free to bring those with you next week. But one thing we want to realize is we want to make sure that we're not being self-deceived. And I think Dr. Nooks often says this, that we have to do self-evaluations because we want to always go back to the in the morning says that in they're new every morning. Grace is new every morning. So we go back to the cross. We go back to the Lord every day and get renewed, because we are people who fall short. Don't get it twisted. We got some problems, y'all, all of us, because it's in our sinful nature. But for the grace of God and the death of Jesus Christ, hallelujah. Amen.
Amen.
Eric,
amen.
Would you close us?
So, gracious Father, we come before you, thy humble service. Thank you for this opportunity to study your word and find the truth in what your scripture reveals to us, Father. And for those of you who are listening here tonight, Father, and if you're listening and you're a bit confused or concerned about what you can do to escape your depravity, because as Dr. Suya said, we've all fallen short. Christ gave us the opportunity through God's grace and mercy. So pray this prayer with me. Lord Jesus Christ, I ask that you would come into my life and take control, that I surrender myself to you, realizing that I am a sinner and I need a Savior, and that without you, Lord, I am separated from God forever. I surrender myself to you, asking that you would rest, rule, and abide in my life, to give me guidance and direction, and to prick me when I am wrong and sinful, and to help me to come to understand that I need to repent and turn away from that. I turn my life over to you and accept you as my Lord and Savior, believing that you were born of the Virgin Mary, the only begotten Son of God, who was crucified on the cross under Pontius Pilate.
Yes, Lord.
Who was placed in a tomb and raised from the dead and ascended into heaven, giving me the opportunity that if I should believe in my heart and confess with my mouth that you are Lord and Savior, the only Christ, that I should be saved. And that when I am in doubt and in trouble, that I can turn to you for your guidance and direction. If you believe what you just prayed and you've accepted Christ as your personal Savior, you are saved. You don't have to worry about being confronted with the end times of what will transpire, for you will be raptured before that particular point in time. We thank you and applaud you for accepting Christ as your Savior, and welcome to the family of God. For it is only
Amen.
Through that
Amen.
Confession and submission
yes,
that you will be saved. So thank you
All
for
right.
joining us tonight. And we ask that you would join us every Tuesday from 7 to 8:30-ish. You can do that by calling in to 646-478-4932. That's 646-478-4932. Dr. Susie is our host and moderator, and we look forward to having you with us next week.
Amen.
Thanks for listening to Your Place Love Connection, your place of prayer, love, acceptance, compassion, and empowerment.